Welcome to Diva Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is another weekly podcast brought to you by Plantation SDA Church. This is season 5, episode, I believe, 13.
Wow.
Yes, 13. We're moving up there. And the other voice that you heard is the wonderful Dawn. I want to thank you, Dawn, for taking in, filling in, being the co-pilot, whatever you need to be to make this podcast go well. Thank you. Amen. And welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you again, Joe, too.
It's been a while. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute. But thank you so much for doing that. I want to thank all our podcast listeners for taking the time out, as always. Any questions and comments and concerns, as always, please contact us at 954-388-8780. And guess who's back, Dawn?
I know. Well, actually, I saw him last time.
You saw him, but he's
while you were away.
He's two in a row. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
It's a privilege to be here. It has been a while since I have been a part of it with the team. Welcome back, Joe.
You're
off doing some important work at business of
renewing
your 20 years of relationship to the same person.
That's right.
Thank you, Pastor. I told my wife that it's nice to do the word is coupling.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing.
It's
so welcome back to work, sir. Welcome back to ministry.
Thank you. Chop, chop. What do you say? Chop, chop.
Yes.
Hey, but check this out, Don.
Uh-huh.
Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, you know, his AKA is fashionable shepherd. But
right.
Did you see what he wore?
Let's get on with it.
He was matching with everybody.
Tell me about it.
He just blended in beautifully.
I thought he was going to sing a number or something.
I did too, actually. Yeah. I thought he was going to join the choir. I really did.
That's good. All right, guys, as we always do, let's start off with a word of prayer and we can proceed. Father God, thank you once again for this wonderful day. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. You're not worthy, but Lord, your grace and mercy abound. Thank you for this podcast. Thank you for the co-host. Thank you for the host. Thank you for our pastor, speakers, and everybody who is on here to discuss your word. May it go forth and someone anywhere, everywhere be blessed. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So this weekend was the cantata, the Easter cantata and everything. So, Pastor, you decided to go with the theme of forgiven.
Yes.
Why forgiven?
As I thought about the Easter season and the varied emphasis that I know will be made in the various churches and various settings as folks in the Christian world at least pay that visit to the cross, I became acutely aware of the fact that all that happened, all that played out, it happened because, of course, of God's tremendous love, but that his objective was to save us, was to redeem us.
Mm-hmm.
And he does that through pardoning. He does that through forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that there are a number of us who struggle with that concept of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was led to that. Also, in full disclosure, I was asked by another church to, they did the 7 last words of Jesus, and they did it in the evening. And I was asked to share in the first words uttered from the cross, which were, "Father, forgive him." And so I thought, hey, why don't I give the extended version? Of course, they gave me 10 minutes. And so they got an excerpt in the evening. You as a congregation, their plantation, got the full blown sermon. So
that's how I
got to forgiven.
Forgiven.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wonderful.
Okay.
All right. Well, of course, you know, you were speaking from Luke 23.
Yes.
Of course, you know, you're talking about God's greatest display of love for humanity, which was, of course, his son on the rugged cross. Let's talk about these three elements. It really fascinated me how you broke that down. I like mm-hmm. that, you know,
yeah.
With relationship and identity.
Identity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't want to miss out on an opportunity, guys, before I go there to mention Alexander Pope. It's one of those famous lines, you know,
yes.
To err is human, to forgive
is divine.
Yeah. You know, yes. that famous quote, which helps us as human beings to appreciate that we will mess up and we will make mistakes, we will sin. And when we offer forgiveness, mm-hmm. we are doing a godlike thing. We're doing a godlike thing. Okay. And of couples, a survey was done some years ago of couples who stayed together 30 years or more. And one of the major elements, there were some who spoke about compromise, but one of the major elements that couples who stayed 30 years or more in marriage, forgiveness was an important element. Mm-hmm. The ability to forgive, the ability not only to offer forgiveness, but the ability to accept forgiveness. I wanted to put a plug there. So back to the text, that verse, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they do. Oftentimes when I come to I like Dawn and Joe to preach from a singular text. For two main reasons. Number mm-hmm. one, I appreciate that for the most part, I'm dealing with the Twitter. Well, they call it X now, but I'm dealing with a texting generation. And mm-hmm. Dawn, they want it brief. They want a short line, mm-hmm. you know, these mm-hmm. one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the reasons. But the second reason is these one-liners, they usually challenge me. Mm-hmm. I have to dig deep. I have mm-hmm. to pray. I have to research. I have to study. They force me to do that. And so I take on the challenge. And so when I'm looking at this one-liner, Joe, Father, forgive mm-hmm. them, for they do not know what they do. I'm thinking, Holy Spirit, what do I do with this? Yes, forgiveness is evident.
Mm-hmm.
And I can preach that in 2 minutes. But what else is there? And mm-hmm. then I got to, you know, starting to break it up. Of course, I spend some time looking at the verse in the original language, the Greek, and all the mechanics of that, and mm-hmm. came up with these three elements. And as I'm writing it, the Holy Spirit is showing it to me. There is relationship and identity in the text.
Mm-hmm.
There's restoration and indemnity in the text, and there is repercussions and impact. They're all there in this text. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about relationship and identity, I note that Jesus cried out and he called God his Father.
Yes.
And it's interesting, Dawn, that he did so with the first lines from the cross and the last lines, right, on the cross.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Father, forgive them. And the last line, last of the
into
seven,
into your hands,
into
yeah.
yes, Father, into mm-hmm. into your yeah. hands, and so the term Father denotes relationship,
mm-hmm.
and it also denotes identity, that he knew that he had not lost his status
mm-hmm.
because of what he was going through, and even when he felt that separation, which yeah. sin causes from the cross, he still knew that God was his Father.
Mm-hmm.
He still knew that he was his Son. And so he never lost that relationship and he never lost his identity. And I wanted to use that to reinforce, Dawn, that we should not lose who we should not let circumstances determine who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We should not let circumstances, we should not let people determine who we are. We mm-hmm. are who God said we are. And I'm sure, Joe, you caught it. I did use a few, cite a few contemporary persons in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, folks are taking their notes from these people saying, this is who you are. I want to be. No. You're not who those people say you are. You are who God says you are, and you should never allow circumstances or situations to cause you to lose your identity and your status.
Amen.
In God.
So, Pastor, when you say that we should never lose our identity, why do you think it is that Christians, as a Christian, when we go through the difficult situations in our life, that, you know, all of a sudden another aspect of our character may come forward and it may not be so Christian? How can we keep that in check?
Well, if we look at the example there during that weekend, Jesus had warned Peter, mm-hmm. you're going to deny me. Oh, me? No mm-hmm. way. Come on. Yeah. I'll be the last mm-hmm. man standing. I'll be the last mm-hmm. man
exactly.
standing.
Right.
And we find Peter in that moment, Joe. We find him there, not only denying that he knew Jesus, but he had the language to boot. Okay.
So yeah, it's exactly. the personality.
Yes, let me really show you that I don't know the guy.
Times three. Yeah.
yes. let me really show you. And I think part of the answer is, Dawn, that sometimes in our human frailty, we give in to the pressure.
Mm.
We give in to fear. Peter was fearful at that moment. And we assume this survival mode. I gotta mm-hmm. survive here. Yeah. Peter was thinking, if I admit that I know him, yeah, I could be joining him on the cross. Yes. And so many times we're trying to fit in. So it's part of fear. We deny. We may think there be consequences if we hold up to our true identity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's for short-term gain. If I can mm-hmm. deny I'm a Christian, maybe they'll let me in. Maybe mm-hmm. I'll get some traction here. Mm-hmm. And so there are a whole host of reasons why, Dawn, we can give in. And it's for that reason I believe we should remain connected. We should remain connected to God mm-hmm. every moment of our lives. Mm-hmm. And we should remind ourselves. And I think that's where the daily devotionals fit in, Joe, that mm-hmm. meeting with God daily and reminding ourselves from his word and from time spent with him who mm-hmm. we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen for that.
I think a lot of people struggle with the identity aspect of,
yes, it's a big thing in our culture today.
A lot
of our kids and grandkids mm-hmm. they struggle. It's amazing. A few years ago I heard this term for the first time, and I had to ask a young person to explain it to me. Gender fluidity. The mm-hmm. idea of gender fluidity.
Absolutely.
The idea, you know, I am this person today and I can be another person today. I just choose who I am. I may dress like a man today. I may dress like a girl tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, I may go by a female identity today, but I go by a male identity tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
They call it gender fluidity. And I think that is so confusing.
That's scary.
Not only to the persons mm-hmm. that you're in relationship with, but mm-hmm. it's also confusing to yourself. And so understanding who you are is important. And I believe that the best way I discover who I am is by connecting to the person who made me, and that is God. By recognizing God is creator, God is my father, and I find my identity in him. He decides, and once he has decided who I am, because mm-hmm. he made me, it really doesn't matter, you know, what my peers think. Doesn't matter what the culture is saying. I know who I am because of my relationship with the one who made me. He is God and he's my father.
Amen.
Relationship and identity. And so we find that first element, right? Jesus crying out, Father. And then he says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
And with those two words, I found, Dawn and Joe, I found restoration and indemnity.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of forgiveness is not just to say, okay, You get a pass here. No, forgiveness is seeking to restore the relationship. The relationship was broken. The relationship was damaged because of an offense. And so the person who has been offended is now seeking to restore the relationship, not through, and this is important, not through or by the person who caused the offense to pay some penalty. No. What the offended person is saying is, I am going to relieve you of having to pay any penalty, and I'm going to restore you into a right relationship. And that is what forgiveness does. But there's also the indemnity part of it. And I had to be careful with this, Joe, because I know I have a few folks in the congregation who can fact check me. And we're in the insurance business.
They were tweaking their ears. They were tweaking it.
You know, I know, you know, folks, like, you know, yeah. They're especially, you know, I know folks like Joe and Rupert, they understand indemnity. And so I had to ensure that I wrap my mind around it. But the idea is that you will assume the cost. Right, Joe. Am I right for the loss?
Yes, you will.
Am I right, sir?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, you're the expert.
You're not. You know, yes, I'm into that.
Yes, that you now say I will pay for the damage that the offense caused, and so this is what Jesus did on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them." He was saying, "Father, I will pay for the damage. I will pay. I'll restore that which was lost." And so forgiveness is not just about, okay, you're good, I've forgiven you. No, it's about restoring you, but it's also seeking to address the fact that the offense caused damage. The offense caused damage. And so forgiveness now seeks to not only restore, but it seeks now to make up for the damage. And that's where the indemnity part of it comes in.
Yeah, it's like the protection against the loss.
Yes.
Like a loss, yes.
Yes. Jesus assumed it. One writer said it this way, that the death that he died on the cross was not just the mere cessation of life. He experienced in that moment eternal separation from the Father, which every sinner will experience if they refuse the forgiveness he offers. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
And so it's not just about cessation from life. He took that penalty, which was separation from the Father. He took that penalty for us so that we don't have to, because that's the damage that sin causes. Sin causes separation from God.
Yes.
And Jesus said, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to restore you. But also I'm going to assume the liability, assume the responsibility for the damage you've caused. I'm going to restore. I'm going to pay it all. Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome.
Amen. I think it's an awesome thing. Amen. But then there is also, Don, we find in the text, in the last phrase, repercussions and impact.
Impacts.
Yes. You know, I wanted to, well, you know, it's, I love it when Pastor says that you have to give me credit when he says something. So we're going to give you full credit. I like how you talked about forgiveness in the definition. You want to talk about that in a minute? I love how you said that.
Yes. It was important that we understand forgiveness. As I was saying earlier, it's not just about saying, hey, you know what? You're good. You know, we're fine. Let's move on. No. You know, it's, and this is a definition that I gave. Forgiveness is the means by which God, through Jesus Christ, pardons a repentant sinner. That's number one. Releases him or her from the penalty of sin. That's number two. And restores him or her to a right relationship with him. Amen. We are restored through forgiveness.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why it's such an important aspect of our relationship with God, important aspect of salvation. And then the element of repercussions and impact. When Jesus said, Father, they have no idea, and this is me paraphrasing, what they're doing. It wasn't that they were ignorant of the deed, but they were ignorant of Dawn, the repercussions and the impact. They thought, okay, we're just dealing with a criminal here. We're just dealing with a would-be seditionist here. We're just dealing with another fake messiah here, another fake prophet. Okay. Yeah. Oh, we'll be done with this and we'll get on with our lives. And it's interesting how when I think it was Pilate, who was saying, but he's not done anything, and they said, it's fine. We will assume the responsibility. His blood be upon us and our children, by the way. And they had no idea. They had no idea. And one of the things that galls me every time, guys, I read this story, this narrative of Calvary. One of the things that galls me is the fact that the folks, they left that cross heading home. They wanted to get home for Sabbath. Okay. Mm-hmm. They were concerned about, I got to get in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to get in, for church tomorrow. Yeah. It's so sad. It makes me laugh that they could have done that deed and then just go to church the next day as if nothing happened. Because again, Dawn, they did not understand and appreciate the repercussions and the impact of what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And I shared how when I was a teenager, and they've served me. They've served me, as I seek to navigate life. One of the things they would drum into us, Dawn, one of the things that I would hear it at summer camps, I would hear it in school, at church, at youth meetings, they would tell us, that momentary actions, they would say, momentary actions can have implications far beyond the moment. Momentary actions can have implications far beyond the moment. Because sometimes, Dawn and Joe, as teens, as young people, we were just having fun. We didn't appreciate that some of the things, some of the decisions that we would make as teens in the moment, right? While we're doing it and we're doing life, sometimes we were not appreciating the impact or the implications of those actions that would go far beyond the moment. And of course, these were adults who were telling us, who were, a little bit more experienced when it came to life than we were. And now I am coming to appreciate that. And now I share the same message with our boys and with others, not necessarily in the same words, but yeah. And so back to the cross story, they did not appreciate Dawn. They had no idea. Number one, that they were fulfilling prophecy. And when I looked at this, when I looked at it, Dawn, the mocking, the dividing of his clothes and the offering of vinegar, all of that was prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
All of that was prophesied. Mm-hmm. And they were fulfilling prophecy, Joe, and had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea. And so you and I, we've got to resist not only the temptation of being defined by our circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. We've got to resist the temptation of acting in a moment and acting for the moment, being driven by our passions, right? Being driven by the expediency of the moment. Well, and not appreciate. Go ahead, Joe.
Let me ask you a question. You just hit me with this. You talked about this mob crowd mentality type thing, being caught up in the moment.
Yes.
But would that go with the generation, like you mentioned about the day trader? You remember you mentioned about that?
Yes.
But people seem to, you look on the news, you see all these crowds of people wanting this, wanting that. It's just like, it's the now generation. It's like here, now, nothing invested. It has to be now.
Yeah. Well, two elements.
But I'm just looking at how we can get caught up in all this stuff. Because when I was in college one time, they had this, what was the petition they were doing? And all I heard was, we need to get rid of such and such. And I was like, okay, they're based on just what attitude, so to speak.
Yes. Yes.
But not knowing what we were doing it for.
Yes.
And next thing you know, I'm signing my name for something. I'm like, whoa, decision. What just happened here?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I do believe that some of the folks there left the cross, went home, and after things settled down,
yeah,
thought, wow, what did we just do? We just executed. We just murdered an innocent man.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, there's actual research done on something called mob or crowd mentality.
Yeah.
How people can get so worked up in a crowd, right? How people can work a crowd up, and people can get so worked up in a crowd that they commit themselves without even realizing they're committing themselves.
Right.
Because they've been swept away by the crowd. And that's why, again, understanding who you are and whose you are is important. Understanding your values so that you're not easily swayed by the crowd. That you never lose, and this is important. I wish some young person would hear this, Dawn and Joe, that you never lose your voice.
Yes.
That you're not just shouting because everyone else is shouting. If you're going to shout, you must know why you're shouting. You must know what you're shouting.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like a shouting.
Mass. Yes. Just like a mass of people.
Yes, yes. So there is that thing called a crowd or mob mentality where people can get caught up in the frenzy of the mob and lose their identity.
Yeah.
There's that. And then there is the impatience.
Mm-hmm.
Where we want the thing now, let's act on it now because I may miss out, and so I refer to it as day trading. The idea, let me see what I can get in a moment, and we're not thinking ahead. We're not thinking 5, 6 years.
Yeah,
I might have
right.
shared the story with you about this young man. I think it's 7 years now, who came to me, Dawn, and he was contemplating going to law school. And we spoke, and he said, Pastor, but you know, when I consider the amount of time, I said, just go, you know, semester at a time, year, just do it, just do it. Last time I checked, Dawn, this is 7 years plus now, he didn't go to school.
Wow.
And he's no further where he is now. He's no further where he is now compared to where he was when I spoke with him almost 7 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's,
I found it very powerful that you shared the story of the mass shooting
Dylan
at
Roof.
The church.
That was powerful. I was angry, Don. Don, I was just like, Pastor, I was angry about that because, I don't want to jump into it, but I just had to mention that point that how he sat there.
Yes, in the prayer meeting.
He sat there for over an hour with these people. Prayer meeting. These people,
Then you're looking at the repercussions and the impact at the end of it. To see those families having gone through all of that, to turn around and say, we forgive you.
As I was trying to bring this together, guys, in my preparation, I said I wanted to find a modern day story of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just scrolling through different media, just trying to find different articles on a modern day thing. And this one came up. It was not the first one. Mm-hmm. There are others that came up, and when I read it, I was recalling as I was reading the emotions I felt, and I was a bit hesitant about sharing it. I thought it's going to be too emotional. It's going to be, perhaps it's still raw, Dawn and Joe, but the Holy Spirit kept saying to me, "No, share it, share it, share it." And by the way, don't lose sight of the fact that you placed Jesus on the cross. Okay. You're not innocent here. And he forgave you.
Mm-hmm.
Share. This is hard stuff. And even as I am, as I'm punching the keys, Dawn, I'm recalling, Joe, the emotions I felt when I saw the news bulletin.
Yeah.
I'm recalling the emotions. I'm recalling where I was. I'm recalling, you know, how I felt about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I remember how dazed I was when I saw that clip of the families who were affected saying, "We forgive you. Turn your life over to God." I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That was stunning. That was stunning. And if they can do that, think about a God of love. Think about a God of love.
I just thought about something. Very true. Mentioned earlier. Yeah. You know, you mentioned earlier about you're more than the sum of your circumstances.
Yes.
This would be a good idea about that.
Yes. Yeah.
These folks here.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
That incorporates everything that was everything talked about right in Saturn. Yeah.
But that story, I had to settle myself to share it.
Yeah.
I had to try to manage those emotions to share it.
I had anger, without a doubt. I had anger.
It was a powerful story of forgiveness. Powerful story of forgiveness.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, guys. Wow, I just tell you, it's wonderful. Pastor, you look really, really handsome in that suit, man. Can I use it like next week?
Well, you know, what an awesome suit, man. You know, it's one of those things I don't get to wear often, you know. But I tell you, when I looked at what happened in the evening, I was saying to one of our leaders, we were victims of our own success, Joe and Dawn, because the folks we were challenging and encouraging our folks to invite their friends, invite their neighbors, invite their coworkers, and they did. They did. Yeah. After the Easter Cantata, I had a few members who came up to me and introduced me to their coworker, introduced me to their neighbor. And these are folks for whom it was their first time in an Adventist church. Mm-hmm. It was their first time coming to something like this. And it was really awesome. We were standing room only, right, Joe? I mean, I know you were busy trying to find seats, man, for folks.
Man, I was all over the place.
And our folks, you know, thank God for them. Most of our folks, I would say, Joe, gave up their seats.
They did.
Most of our members gave up their seats. Did. And it was still not adequate. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be praying and rethinking for next year, God's willing. But it was a beautiful thing. One guy came to me afterwards. It was his first time. And he said, "Pastor, this is really high class, high quality production. Nice. This is awesome." Mm-hmm. And nice, I said, "Yeah, you know, we've been at it for a few years now. This church has been at it for a few years now, but this year we decided we really wanted to be intentional about getting folks who are not members of our church, folks from our community, folks from our jobs, folks from school, our different social settings to be there." Mm-hmm. And it happened, Joe and Dawn. It was an awesome thing. It was awesome. It was they came, Joe, even though I was wearing a white suit. They showed up.
I must say we're 2-0. We're 2-0 as far as hosting. With Justice. Now we have this the Cantata.
Yes, yes.
It was a fabulous production.
Yes. And I'm praying that and Pastor Kevin gave an awesome appeal at the end.
He did.
And I'm really praying that we will get some returns, that folks will come and check us out afterwards to say, "Well, you know, I've been to this church before. Let me check it out again." Because at the end of the day, we want to lift up Jesus and point up to Jesus. Amen.
That's what it's about.
If we can connect with him and point up to Christ. So it was awesome. It was awesome.
Every bit. Thank you so much for that. All right, Pastor, as we always thank you. wonderful deeper dive explanation on their sermon. All right, Pastor, lead us out in a word of prayer. Mm-hmm.
Father, we just come to you and we thank you again for Jesus. We thank you for the greatest demonstration of your love right there on Calvary's Hill, where we saw without a doubt that you love us with an everlasting love.
Amen.
And that, Lord, you're pulling out all the stops to save us. We thank you that because of Jesus, we thank you that through Jesus, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. Doesn't matter what we did. Doesn't matter how long we did it. As long as we confess our sins.
Yes.
John says that you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We pray, Lord, that someone listening or who will listen to this podcast has not yet come to know you, will come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. We thank you again. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor. Thank you so much, Don. Thank you, as always.
Thank you.
You guys enjoy the rest of your week and be blessed. And just want to give you a heads up. Did you know April is Stress Awareness Month? Did you know that?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah, just to let you know. They've been pushing it, man. So,
okay.
All right. You guys be blessed, as always. And blessings to your families.